There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely a place for you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Weamy. And today, you guys, we get a chance to talk to Janet White. You guys are going to be inspired by her story, her vulnerability, and her desire to help other people get unstuck. Janet, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited for everybody to get a chance to meet you.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Janet? How are you showing up in the world? What is it that you are working on, or how are you helping people?
Okay, well, it certainly is a journey, isn't it? And you would never, sometimes you realize where you are and you think, how in the world did I get here? I never would have dreamed that I would have been where I am today. But I'm a registered nurse, and I'm a devoted grandma. And I share my passion with the world through my book, Finding Bliss Beyond the Buzz, through my social media, Finding Bliss Beyond the Buzz. I go live every Sunday and just share tips and tricks about being healthy and finding your way, and I love sharing the alcohol-free story that I have. And I also just started a Blissful Bunch Facebook private group, so I am just out there trying to get people motivated to live their best life. I do one-on-one coaching, and I do group coaching, so that's where I'm at today.
I love it. And it sounds to me, because we've had a chance to talk in the past too, but it sounds to me that your passion for helping people to have bliss beyond the buzz is really, you know, a result of something that you personally have gone through, and when you personally had felt stuck. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Okay. So, I guess if you go back to the beginning, and I don't want to hit too hard on it, but maybe some of you guys can relate. I was in a really toxic marriage for a long time, and he was pretty abusive. I had really bad self-esteem issues, probably why I picked him. And then he honed that really well by, you know, keep putting me down, verbally and then emotionally. And of course, there was some violence. Finally got away from that about 14 years ago, and started finding myself and trying to figure out what I wanted, what I liked, who I was, and had to rebuild that from within, because I could hear that negativity and that negative voice over and over, and his voice became my voice in my head, and the blend was toxic, and it was a nightmare. So it took me a lot of therapy and work and practice and just affirmation, lots of different work to try to get myself past that. But I also turned to alcohol. So, you know, alcohol was kind of there for me after I got away from the marriage. It was like, oh, party on. Here I was. I had been young when I got married, so I never really got that. And so I used alcohol, and I didn't even realize that I was using it. Probably didn't drink more than anyone else, but every night, you know, we'd get to the point where, oh, let's have a glass of wine. I had a stressful job. I was busy. I was just on that treadmill of life, living, you know, in fast forward. And I realized that it wasn't healthy. So my relationship with alcohol had become something that I wanted to change. And when I decided I wanted to change it, well, guess what? You know, the minute you tell yourself you can't have something, guess what you want?
Exactly. Oh,
exactly. So I was just going to modify. I was like, oh, I can just cut back. But about 4 years ago, January, I decided to take a complete break. And oh my gosh, it changed my life. So it was never my intent to quit, never wanted to be a teetotaler or not drink. I mean, I was one of those party girls. I was the drink pusher. Hey, have another. Come on, I'll buy the shots. I was the life of the party, if you will. And you know, I loved it, but it wasn't serving me anymore. And what it was doing was numbing my emotions. It was numbing the grief that I had. It was numbing the PTSD. It was numbing all those emotions. And so once I got the alcohol out of the way and and started working on that and taking life as it comes, I started a self-development journey, and I realized, wow, I'm working too hard. I'm working too much. I am not living my values. Because if you were to ask me what my values were and are today, I would say being healthy, being with my family and friends, and, you know, being taking time to enjoy my life. But that's not what I was doing at all. I was going to work every day, working a big stressful job, barely had time for my family and friends, and then drinking in the evenings to reduce my stress. How is that lining up? You know, so that was a huge change. And as I decided to started looking at what I wanted, I realized my story is, a lot of people are in my story. A lot of people hear what I say and they're like, oh my gosh, Janet, that's me. I've just been working and not really taking time for myself. I've been putting myself last, whether it's in a negative relationship or an addiction or whatever it is. And it's like, guess what, guys? We only get this one little life. You know, we have to take care of ourselves and make it the best we can. We deserve to be happy. So I think that's kind of my message in a nutshell.
My gosh, there's so much that I want to unpack in that. And so I'm going to just ask you, there's something that stood out to me when you mentioned that your husband's words became your words inside of your head. I would love for you to kind of describe a little bit about what that was like, and really hope to connect with and inspire some people who are like, oh my gosh, like I completely relate to that. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to blame it all on him and say that he was my whole problem. But after the relationship ended and I went through some of the things, I realized that I probably, like I said, had self-esteem issues going in. But you know, that critical voice, it's that voice in your head that says, you're stupid. You can't do this. No one's going to like that. No one's going to love you. You're not smart enough to do that. You don't deserve this. He actually said those things to me. And then even after he was gone, I could hear that voice. No, Janet, you can't do that. You're not smart enough. You don't deserve that. You're stupid. You're fat. You're always going to be fat. Whatever it was that I heard, yeah, it just kept going. And I had what I called the Janet hating club. And my husband now, who's wonderful, he said, you know what, you have this Janet hating club, but you're the only member. No one else is in it. But we do this to ourselves. We are our own worst enemy. So whether it's hearing someone, I mean, obviously 25 years of hearing negativity about yourself is ingrained. But even if not, I think we struggle with this self-limiting beliefs and this negativity. Social media feeds into it with I'm not as good as her. I'm not as pretty as her. I not as many likes. And you start telling yourself these negative messages and you just want to retreat. And it's so bad for us. And finally, if you can break through some of those negative and challenge them and replace your story with a positive story, I am good enough. It's okay. I might not be the best podcast guest out there, but you know what? I'm good enough. And someone's going to like what I have to say. And then just taking that time to get the different voices in your head, be kinder to yourself. And I think we can probably all use some of that.
Absolutely. And that's why I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned that you were able to take that negative self-talk and be able to eventually switch it into something that was more, you know, healthy and serving you. So you mentioned already a couple of things just automatically, which was so amazing. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about some of the other things that you did to allow for you to shift your inner dialogue in order for you to start to love yourself and embrace who you're meant to be?
Well, I think, again, it was a lot of work and it's a journey, and it's not like I've got it perfect and every day is a paradise and bliss in my world today, but I have absolutely changed the story because I did some self-development work. I read a lot of books. I started doing some self-affirmations. Okay. I did go to therapy. I mean, there's a lot of things, but I think if you start to question yourself and ask yourself, is this real? So for instance, I always said my whole family was overweight, and I had just assumed that I was always going to be overweight, that that's just kind of my lot in life. And that was the story I told myself. Yeah. And it wasn't until I challenged that belief that maybe it's what I'm eating. Maybe it's because I'm not exercising. Maybe it's because I'm drinking too much. Guess what? I don't have to be overweight. I have choices in my life. Same way with, I had a friend, one of my clients, who said that she couldn't sing. And you know where she got that belief? Someone in middle school, a teacher in middle school, told her that she wasn't good and that she shouldn't go out for chorus. She should try something else. And she held on to that. Here she was in her mid-40s, still holding on to that false belief. Well, when we were on this, going through this self-development, and I was just like, why do you believe that? Have you tried? When's the last time you sang? Well, and when she realized she was holding on to something that happened, you know, 30 years ago, guess she's now in a local theater singing.
So yeah, it is. It's the stories that we tell and the stories that we hang on, and to challenge that, is that true? That is so, so profound. I would love for you to kind of guide us through this next kind of question that I have for you, is really recognizing when our drinking is starting to sabotage our future success. What are some of the things that you see in others or that you've seen in yourself that we need to maybe start to wonder or question whether or not this is serving us?
Oh, I love this question so much. You've hit on my passion point. So you'll have to probably shut me up after a few minutes. But I tell you, you know, our society is so focused on alcohol. It's a drink with everything. It's the social thread of our society. Unfortunately, it's targeting us in a way that if we don't drink, there's something wrong with us, rather than the opposite. So I think you have to ask yourself, what are you getting out of alcohol? So yeah, it's a lot of fun to go meet people at the bar for a drink, or maybe to have a glass of wine after work. Studies are showing now that even small amounts of alcohol are not healthy. I remember Googling, you know, is wine good for me? I'm trying to find a study where somebody will show me that it's good to drink. But the fact is that what alcohol does is a depressant, and what it does is it numbs us. And it works for a minute, but when you realize what it does to your sleep, what it does to your willpower, what it does to your body, what it does to your liver and brain and all the other aspects, you have to ask yourself, why am I using this? I think alcohol is probably where the cigarette industry was back when I was young. We smoked everywhere. We smoked on TV. We smoked in the hospital. We had the Marlboro Man and the Winston, you know, we had it all over. Yeah. And finally, society said, oh my gosh, we're killing ourselves with this. Why are we promoting it and making it so glamorous when in fact, so many people are dying from it? And I think people are starting to become aware. There is a sober community now. There's more and more alcohol-free options. There's people like me and others who are out there saying, guess what? You can have fun without it. So I think, going back to your question, it's a personal decision. It's a personal choice. And I'm not here to say, oh, alcohol's evil, no one should ever drink. But if you start relying on alcohol, so what I mean by that is, I'm not talking to the person who wakes up with the shakes. I can't help you with that. You know, we need to probably go get some medical help. But if you're like me, a middle-aged drinker, and you come in the evening and the first thing you want to do is open up some alcohol because you need it to relax you and you need it to make you feel better and you need it. So those are some red flag signs. If you are Googling, is alcohol good for me? Guess what? You might want to take a look at that. You know, if you deep down, I think we know when it's not serving us, if it's something that we, you know, it's not just drinking the alcohol itself, it's the whole circle around it. So what would happen would be, I would come home, open up the glass of a bottle of wine, pour a glass, have a glass. Guess what? Now I don't feel like prepping my food. Now I'm not going to my gym. Now I'm not. So I order the pizza. I sit on the couch. I mean, it's all the things that go around. It's not just the one act of the empty calories of the alcohol. It's the decisions we make afterwards.
Oh my gosh, 100%. And I think that's one of the things that when we first met, like really, I resonated with, because a lot of my listeners are people who want to level up in life and in business, right? And I think that it's so true. When I have a beer with dinner or a glass of wine at night, like I literally don't have the motivation to continue to, you know, post on my social or to follow up with a couple extra clients or to do any of that stuff. And then of course I don't sleep as well. And then therefore I wake up tired. And then the whole cycle repeats itself. When I have big dreams, I have big goals, I have big impact that I want to make in the world. And so even that one glass of wine or that one can of beer is really sabotaging my energy and my ability to show up and to be able to do what I need to serve people. And you don't realize just that one little decision can completely sabotage the whole rest of your evening. And I also loved what you said about, just the fact of the motivation of why you're drinking. And I think that the two most common, you know, things that I hear, and I possibly could even relate to myself, is the stress factor. Like, oh my gosh, I had such a bad day at work today. Yes, this is going to take off the edge, right? Or, hey, you know, I'm really nervous to go to X, Y, and Z event. I'm an introvert, so it's really hard for me to talk to people. So I'm using it as a crutch or as a tool in order to get me through something versus just the fact that I enjoy the way that it tastes or I enjoy, you know, the experience around it. And so I think that what you said is, you know, really resonating with me, and I hope my audience as well, is Jet, what are your motivations behind why you're drinking? And if you're finding that you're using it as a crutch, then perhaps it's time to start exploring, why am I so stressed at work? What things can I do to help combat that so that I'm not having to rely on alcohol to get me through it? Or, hey, what are some things that I can start doing to make me a little bit more capable, I guess, of going out into a social setting when I'm an introvert and it feels really scary, right? Because there are ways that we can do it without alcohol. And so I think that there are the ways that we sabotage ourselves by the choices that we make that can downhill spiral our ability to show up and do the thing that we're supposed to do.
Oh, so that is so true. And, you know, that was my experience. So it wasn't my idea to just completely quit alcohol, never drink again. And I still haven't said I will never drink again. What has happened, though, once I got through that first few months of, oh, I miss my habit, I miss my comfort.
Yes.
Once I got through that, I started feeling so much better. I started having so much more energy. You know, for years, I thought, well, I'm in my 50s, so, you know, I'm going to slow down. This is why I feel this way. It was the alcohol. It was just what you said. I would have a few glasses of wine. I didn't sleep well. I would wake up the next morning. My resting heart rate was in the 80s. It's now in the 50s. I'm in better shape than I was, you know, 20 years ago, because guess what? I have more energy. I have more, more willpower. I have more time. Oh, think about the time you get back. You mentioned it. After you have a couple, or even just one drink, do you feel like doing anything? Do you feel like making that extra call, like you said, or posting or doing something? No, you don't. And so it's robbing so much of our time and energy, and not to mention the health benefits. You know, as a nurse, I just have to say, it's so easy to think that alcohol is reducing your stress, but I'm going to tell you, it's not the real truth. It's not the case. The chemicals in alcohol actually increase your anxiety next day, day after, and onwards. So it's, I think it's, we're being sold a bill of goods that is just not true. And so I say, challenge it, you know, take a break from alcohol, take 30 days, take 60 days. If you say you can take it or leave it, then why not leave it for 30 days and see if it makes a difference? You can always go back to drinking.
You know, something that you said really, really stood out to me is that alcohol can actually increase stress. One of the things that stood out to me was that you mentioned that stress can actually be increased by drinking alcohol. And I think that that's something that we really don't acknowledge very often. We take it or drink it because it's going to help us to feel better. But I think what you recognize when you really look at it is that it can cause extra stress because now I have delayed everything that was going to do on my to-do list. And so now I have more anxiety because I didn't do any of the things that I was going to do last night. Or so we can become more stressed about what we said or what we did while we were drinking.
Yes.
And the impact that can have on relationships, the impact that can have on client relationships if you're out in a you know, professional setting, and how that can impact you. And so then you spend all this extra time ruminating over what you said or didn't say, or how you acted, or what you remember or didn't remember. And it's like this moment where you have this brief period of quote unquote less stress that can actually cause more stress in the long run.
That is so true. I can't tell you how many times, I am embarrassed to tell you how many times I actually would get up in the morning and think, oh my gosh, who did I text last night? Or did I say something at the party that I shouldn't have? I've had conversations now once without the alcohol, I'm able to go and enjoy the party. I'm able to go and enjoy the dinner or whatever, but I can see it now so clear. And I think back, gosh, how many times did this happen to me? Everyone's talking, everyone's engaged, everyone's having a good time. And then you watch as the drinks keep flowing, you hear people getting louder, repeating themselves. It's not even as potent or important at what they're saying. They're just getting louder to say what they want to say over and over again. And it's really, you know, when you're not drinking, it's hard to hear. It's hard to watch. So I think that's why so many people who do drink want you to drink with them so that we can all be there together, right?
And I think that, you know, this is something that I feel is appropriate to mention at this time as well, is we are a reflection of the five people that we spend the most time with, right? And so if you think about that, if all of your close-knit circle are the party crowd, how are you going to elevate your impact and your income and the things that you're trying to do if you're surrounding yourself with people that are making similar choices? And so when you start to surround yourself with people who are choosing, I mean, and we're not even talking, Janet, are we, about like an alcoholic who drinks till they black out? Like this is literally just somebody even that has one or two drinks a night. You know, it's amazing how much just those tiny little choices impact the overall productivity and the overall impact that we can make in the long run. Right? And one of the things that you mentioned that I wanted to address as well is habits. So for example, like I have a habit that when we drink, you know, eat tacos for dinner, you know, a nice Corona sounds good with that meal, right? Or if we have pasta, oh, a good wine sounds good with that meal. So it's almost like a habit versus a need or an actual pairing that goes well, like without another reason other than habit, right? And so one of the things that I did, because, you know, in the summertime here in Minnesota, it seems like it lasts 2 weeks, I swear. but it's like after dinner, we, you know, get some burgers on the grill and we're sitting outside enjoying the nice weather and a cold beer just sounds good. It's not that I even care about the feeling of it. I just like the taste of it and I associate it with summer and the beautiful weather. And when I switched that out for a seltzer water, I still got the same feeling of the cold can, the refreshing drink, but it didn't have the alcohol. So I was able to swap out that habit with something that was a little bit more healthy, I guess, for me. Do you have any other good habit swaps that we could consider that are going to help us to not overthink this, but really just start to make things as a default better for us?
Yeah, I tell you, I think for me, it's the way that I was able to kind of transition was I had to change it up completely. So those triggers is what I call them, where, you know, I would get home and it was 5:30, 6 o'clock, sometimes 7, whatever. I walked in the door. The first thing I wanted to do was I had a glass of wine while I prepared dinner. That was just the way it happened.
Yeah.
So I had to do things different for a while. I had to be in a different place. I had to do something different. So instead of coming home, pouring the wine, I would decide I'm going to start dinner, take a walk, and then come in. Or whatever it is that you can set it up. I mean, for the first 6 months or so, change it up. If you know every time you go to the pub with your friend that you're going to have a beer, you know, maybe you might not go for the first month of no alcohol. Maybe, or if you do, go ahead and have your plan. They have the Corona 00. They have that. My new favorite is the Sam Adams, just the haze. It's alcohol free. You have the beer. You have, just like everyone else, you're a part of the group. Nobody drinks that I know of drinks 12 alcohol free. I mean, why would you? But, one or two is plenty, and you get the social impact, and feel like you're part of the crowd. So that not everybody believes in the alcohol free alternatives, but if it works for you, try it. And I think exercise, there's a lot of things that we can do that are healthy alternatives. So that's what I do.
And then one more thing that I wanted to mention is just the benefits of, you know, not drinking on our body image and our self-esteem when it comes to the way that our body is impacted by the high calories that often comes along with good drinking. And so my kind of beer of choice has always been an IPA. And so IPAs are heavy in calories, 200 plus. And so you think about that, that's a dessert. And so when you stop drinking alcohol, you are getting rid of those empty calories. And it's amazing how our waistline can be impacted by that. And so I think that something as simple as cutting out what we're drinking and the calories that we're consuming is going to allow for us to start shifting and changing our bodies in a more healthy way. And I can't tell you how many times I've coached people that, you know, want to be a public speaker, for example, but their body image is keeping them from getting on stage. This is a tiny little thing that we can do that's going to help kind of kill two birds with one stone, right? You're going to be able to work on that body image by getting yourself in a healthier state, and you're able to get more productive so that you have more time and energy to practice, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a win-win. And not only the empty calories, but again, all the things we loop in with it, you know, our inhibitions go down, so we make worse choices.
Yeah.
And our metabolism actually slows down with alcohol. So even if you don't drink a ton, the body has to process the alcohol in the liver, and it slows down your metabolism. It takes several days to, up to a week to actually get that out of your system. And if you're a daily drinker, I mean, you know, it can take you a long time to get it out of your system, and then reset your metabolism, but it will come back. So who wants a slower metabolism? Not me.
Absolutely. And it makes it, you know, worth getting on the treadmill or whatever, when you know that you're not having to go uphill against those empty calories, right? Oh my goodness. This has been so great and so insightful. And I think that, you know, again, for people who are really just wanting to level up in life, I think this is a really great thing to consider. Like, is your drinking impacting your ability to step up into the person that God has designed you to be? Is there anything, Janet, that you haven't had a chance to mention that you really wanted to share with our audience today that we haven't gotten to?
You know, I guess not really. I think we've kind of touched on so much. Thank you. You've been a great host. I will say that if you are stuck in that pattern of self-talk, negative self-talk, and you are feeling down and bad about yourself, and you're using alcohol to cope, you know, go get a coach, go get some help, take a break, read some Quitlet, we call it, you know, about quitting alcohol, do some things. You are so worth it. And life is so much better when you switch up your story and you are that person that you are meant to be.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for that. You guys, make sure that you check out Janet inside the show notes for all of the ways that you can connect with her. We love to hear from you. So hit subscribe, leave a review, let us know what your favorite part of this interview was. And of course, make sure that you're sharing this out on social, tag us in your stories, let us interact with you, because it's so much fun to know that we are connecting and empowering you guys to be your best self, and we get to hear back from you. So Janet, one of the things that I always do is I ask my guests to think of a question that you would love the audience to think about that's going to move them forward from where they are to where they want to be. So what is a great question that you would ask them to think about?
Okay, I guess just off the cuff here. what would my life look like without alcohol?
Mm. All right. And starts to envision that. And you know, what do you like what you see, right? And this is amazing. Thank you so much for your beautiful story, your energy, and everything that you're doing to help the world today, Janet. Thank you so much. You guys, thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Untuck Podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.